Okay, come here to Isaiah 28. Now, God has a secret way of giving understanding to someone who wants to know and are led by the Spirit of God or have the Spirit of God through baptism. Here's how he lets you know how to grow in grace and knowledge and how to understand the Bible. Because we're going to see a few places here a little later on where that it seems to be all jumbled together. So let's pick it up here in verse 9, Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Now just put in your notes there, John 6:45. All shall be taught of the Father. See, whatever we learn, we understand it's been given to us. And God is the one who gives it, and he's the one who teaches us. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That means you have to have a certain amount of basic understanding. The milk of the word is to start with 10 commandments, love God, Sabbath, holy days, clean, unclean meats. Those are certain things of the milk of the word that are easy to understand. I don't think there's any problem in understanding the 10 commandments if you just read them as they are. Okay? There are other things that are hard to find. There are other things that are difficult to discern. Proverbs tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but that it is the honor of a king to search it out. Okay? Now, God made it this way to test us whether do we really want the truth? Do we really want to know about God? Now, when we come along, we find something that's difficult to understand, and you come to something that's hard to understand, just remember that it's hard to understand and go on till you learn some more and then come back to it again at a later date and you'll understand it, okay? So you have to have a certain level of understanding, all right? Verse 10, here's how God did it in the Old Testament. Now the New Testament is much more straightforward. The New Testament, outside of the Gospels and the book of Acts, all the rest of the New Testament, that is 22 books of the New Testament, well, we can take, well, even part of Revelation, so we'll include that, okay? So that 17 of the books of the New Testament are written in epistles. Now, what does epistle mean? It means a letter. So you can take that to mean that these are personal letters from God, written to you by the apostles of God to tell you about salvation and God's plan. Now, the Old Testament is a little more different. All right? Here he says, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. All right? That's how the Old Testament is put together, and in particularly many, many places in the book of Isaiah. Now, when you read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you read Joshua, Judges, those are pretty straightforward. When you get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12 minor prophets, then things can be very hard to understand. So remember, it's going to be a precept upon a precept, line upon line. Now, let's come to Isaiah 50. And let's just go through this chapter and see how this applies. Isaiah 50. Now, Isaiah 53 was not quite that complicated. That was relatively straightforward and not too difficult to understand, provided that you have the understanding about Christ. Now here, let's pick it up. All right, verse 50. Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's bill of a divorcement with which I have put her away? This is putting away ancient Israel. Or to which of my creditors have I sold you? And the creditors are all the invading nations. Do we have one large creditor nation that is, reminds you of China today? Yes. Okay. Behold, you yourselves were sold for your iniquities, and your mother is put away for your transgressions. Therefore, when I came, why was no one there? When I called, no one answered. Now, it gets into a situation where God was pleading with the people. Is my hand shortened at all so that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, and their fish stink because there is no water, and die for thirst. Telling of all of his creative powers, whatever God could do, he could do. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. Now, you've got a lot of different precepts in there, don't you? Precept, precept, line upon line. So what you do, like this one here, verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. Well, then study about the heaven. Study about the things that it says here in the Bible about the sun and the moon and the earth and the stars, you see. Now, let's jump here to verse 4. The very next verse. Subject changes instantly from one line to another line, line upon line, okay? The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned to know how to help the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as one being taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor turned away backward. What is this? All right. Let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to John 7. John 7, and we will see that this applies to Jesus. Okay? Where was Jesus educated? Who taught him? Now, here in John 7. Now, don't you think that all the rabbis were asking every one of their rabbinical schools, they found out about Jesus, did he go to your school? What are these new teachings that he has? Did you do it? Oh, no, I didn't do it. Okay. Let's see what they say here about him in John 7. Yes. Verse 15, or verse 14. But then, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and was teaching. And the Jews were amazed. Now, what caused this statement? Saying, how does this man know letters having never been schooled? He never went to any of their schools. How does he know this? How does he know the word of God? Remember when Luke, the second chapter, when he was up the Passover and stayed behind, and he was with the elders talking to them, questions and answers, and they were amazed at his knowledge? All right. A little later in the book of John, let's come here to John 12. We could add some other scriptures, but we'll just do this one. Now, you see, what are we doing in this Bible study? Exactly where we started in Isaiah 28. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay? Okay. John 12. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 42. Okay? But even so, many among the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Little church politics, huh? Synagogue politics? Yes. For they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. Then Jesus called out and said, the one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. But if anyone hears my words and does not believe them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him, the word which I've spoken. He doesn't have to judge them personally. He's already given the judgments with his words. That shall judge him in the last day. Now notice verse 49. For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Now let me check one more here. Let me check one more scripture in John. I think it's John 5. Let me get there. Okay, John 5. Okay. Let's pick it up here. Verse 27. Which verse did you have there? 30. Yeah, I'm coming down to 30. And has given him, that is, the Father has given Christ authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice. They shall come forth, those who have practiced good unto a resurrection of life, those who have practiced evil to a resurrection of judgment. I have no power to do anything of myself, but as I hear, from who? God. I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Okay? See, where does it say in the Father taught him? Okay. It says in another place in John that the Father taught him. But let's come back here to Isaiah 50. Now, apart from what I just read, you could not understand these two verses. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5. So what do we have? If Jesus didn't go to any of their schools, where did he learn what he knew? We got the answer right here. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, to know to help the weary with the word. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as one being taught. The Father woke up Jesus every morning and taught him. Beginning when? Don't know. But probably as a very young infant. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious nor turned away backwards. So he listened to everything learned from the Father, didn't go to any of their schools. Why should he go to the schools of Judaism, which teach traditions and lies? And yet there's a book out, Jesus the Jewish Rabbi. Hello? Are they misguided in what they write? Yes. All right. Now notice what happens next. Bang. This has to do with his growing up and his ministry. Notice the next verse. It jumps ahead to something entirely different. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. That ties in with Isaiah 53 and about the crucifixion of Christ, does it not? Yes. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I have not been disgraced. On account of this, I have set my face like a flint. How did Jesus endure what he endured? He set his mind. He looked forward to the accomplishing of the kingdom of God. See? It says there in Hebrews 12, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the contradiction of sinners and despised the shame of the cross. See, it says here, I will not be ashamed. So you see how much there is in the Old Testament that talks about Christ. See? Now we also need to understand there are three things that the Bible points to. Number one, Christ. Number two, the Father. Number three, the kingdom of God. Everything focuses into these. Then you have who are the adversaries? Who are the enemies? You have that also in the Bible. So you know what you're up against and what you're fighting, see? All right, let's go on. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he who shall condemn me? Lo, they've all grown. Now, it changes entirely something different here, right? Lo, they all shall grow old like a garment, and the moth shall eat them. Talking about how all the enemies, all who were against them, all the adversaries would just go the way as if they were eaten up by a moth, which is saying they will return to the dust of the earth in a little different way. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who gird yourself with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks which you have kindled, this you shall have of my hand, and you shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, he's going to turn back all their schemes upon him. All right? Now, let's look at something else a little different here. Let's come to Isaiah 24. Now, you see, none of this is in chronological order. See? So if you don't know how to approach the study of the Old Testament, then it's hard to understand. But realize this. Here is the key to understanding. The New Testament interprets the Old. How does the New Testament interpret the Old? It brings the fulfillment of the prophecies. It brings the higher standard of the law. See, all these things we've covered today, you see? All right? Isaiah 24. Let's read a few verses here. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. Now, this is talking about the time of the return of Christ. Everything is upside down. And as with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. Guess who's going to solve the economic problems? Christ. Wipe it all gone. And if his return happens to be on the after the saints in Christ put their feet on the earth on the day of trumpets, does the following atonement when Satan is put away begin a jubilee year? And does that declare all debts are null and void? Release from all debts. How are you going to solve the financial crisis that we have? You can't repair it. You got to get rid of it. You got to kill it. That's what he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
Whatever. Okay. Verse 3. The earth shall be completely laid waste and utterly stripped, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and languishes. The earth, the world withers and languishes. The proud of the earth wither. The earth is defiled under its people because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. The curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the people of the earth are burned, and few men are left. That's describing what's going to happen to the earth. All right? Come over here to chapter 25. Now here, we have kind of flowing in a little more chronological manner. See, so here in the book of Isaiah, we see many different structures of how the Bible is put together. Chapter 25. All right. The first five verses continue on about all the different things that he's going to do, okay? Make the city a heap, strong people glory. Come down here to verse 6. And in this mountain, that is beginning with Jerusalem, then going to the whole world, the Lord of hosts shall make a feast of fat things for all people. That's a type of the millennium, right? Yes. a feast of wine on the lees, and of fat things full of marrow, of refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people, and the veil that is woven over all nations. Take away the whole deception of Satan the devil. We have other places like in Ezekiel 36 that he's going to give mankind a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, an attitude of willingness and cooperation rather than rebellion and rejection. See, okay? So I'm going through these things so that maybe this will help you and inspire you to study, do a little more thinking when you're studying, and to see how the whole Bible is so fantastically put together. And the Word of God is just like a sphere, okay? Everything is interconnected. And if you put lines through it, you could put almost an infinite number of lines intersecting an infinite number of lines, and you come up with so much out of the Bible, okay? And how it all connects. Old Testament, New Testament, the histories. We need the genealogies to know, was Jesus really the one? Did he really come in the lineage that was said? That's legal. Is God a lawgiver? Yes. Is he legal? Yes. See? I mean, the whole Bible is fantastic when you get into it. Now notice, it tells what's going to happen here. Verse 8, it jumps ahead. He will destroy death forever. Where do you find that? Revelation 20. The grave and death were cast into the lake of fire. Right? The next chapter says, let's read it here in verse 8. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Isn't that what it says? Revelation 21? Yes, indeed. He shall take away from all the earth the rebuke of his people, lift the curse of Israel. For the Lord has spoken it. See how you can understand the gospel through the writings, the holy writings. Okay? I don't know about you, but I get excited about this. This, you know, like they say, great stuff. Okay? And one shall say in that day, lo, this is our God. Not these statutes which have been destroyed. You know why God is going to destroy so many things? You read the book of Revelation, all those earthquakes and all the things that take place. And then you read Isaiah 40, every mountain shall be lowered and every valley shall be raised, and the rugged shall be made plain and the plain shall be made rugged. He's literally going to turn this earth upside down. And I don't think we realize how many underground things the different nations have done through the years. Now, you might go on History Channel sometime and watch the underground. It shows what's under Rome, what's under Berlin. Who knows what's under Iran with all the nuclear stuff they are doing? Did you know that the factory where they were making Focke-Wulf airplanes to the very last 3 weeks of the war, manufacturing them, were in an underground manufacturing facility beneath Berlin? And the Allies couldn't understand where these planes were coming from, because they were shooting them all down, yet there would still be more. Shooting them all down, yet there'd be more. And we just barely got them in time before the Germans were really ready to take off with the jet planes. And to get the second bomb, now this is what I have heard, so let me ring the bell. To get the second bomb to drop upon Hiroshima or Nagasaki, the first one was Hiroshima on Nagasaki, that they had conquered Germany and they got the plutonium from the Germans, shipped it to America, and made the second bomb and dropped it. It's a good thing they surrendered because we didn't have any more. Amazing. All right? A little sidebar there. All right, let's finish off this chapter here, okay? Verse 10, for the hand of the Lord shall rest in this mountain, and Moab shall be trampled under him, even as straw is trampled under in the dung pit. You know, that's pretty descriptive, you know. If you live on a farm, you can figure that out. Go to the barn. And he shall spread out his hands in the midst as he who swims strokes to swim, but he shall bring down their pride together with the skills of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of your walls he will lay low and bring them down to the ground, even to the dust. So what do we have here? We have how God is going to return, almost destroy the world, come back and rebuild it, and then also make sure, again, that all of these things are eliminated. So this little Bible study just gives you kind of an inkling and understanding of how you can approach studying the Bible and just realize the whole Bible is full of things like this, okay? And God's Spirit will give us the understanding. Can't be learned and done all overnight, so we have to do it all together. Okay. Now, since I've talked on long enough and I need to leave in a little bit here, I'll just go ahead and close in prayer, okay? If you all stand, please. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.